إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on teaching and learning, and we are on the part of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the four things to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the four steps. يَتْرُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. We mentioned about the tilawat of the Quran, we mentioned about tazkiyah. Today we'll talk about the ta'lim al-Quran. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. It's a very simple matter to understand for anyone who wants to understand that ta'lim of the kitab, obviously there is something called ta'lim of the kitab even for people who understand the language, because the tilawat of the Quran has already been done. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayat which came to him, and he recited them to people who understood them. It is not people like me who don't understand the language. It is people who were the ashab of the language. They were, the language was their language. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Allah is saying, you also teach them the book. So which shows that it is not simply reading of the Quran which is sufficient. Reading of the Quran is the first step. You then have to understand the explanation of the Quran as explained by the one on whom it was sent, which is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason I'm saying this is because one of the fitnas, one of the trials of this ummah is people who in their ignorance believe that they have knowledge. And these are the people who call themselves Ahlul Quran, Quraniyin. And this is nothing new. From the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually predicted this, and he said that there will come in this ummah a set of people who will sit on couches and they will hold up the Quran and they will say, this book is enough for us. And he said, these are the people who are misguided and they are in hellfire. So when we see them today, it is nothing new. It is an old phenomena, but we need to be careful of such people, and we need to watch out for this and to explain to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said yu'allimuhumul kitab, what did Allah mean? Because the Quran has already been sent, it has already been recited, and if that was sufficient, then that was sufficient. Where is the question of ta'limul kitab? Ta'limul kitab is the equivalent. We mentioned I have been taking through the example of agriculture, where we said that the tilawat of the Quran is the seed. It is the best seed that you can possibly have. But the best seed, if it is put into soil which is not prepared, then the seed will not germinate, it will die. And the preparation of the soil is tazkiyah, where you prepare the soil, you till the soil, you fertilize the soil, you take out all the harmful elements from the soil, and you make the soil suitable to receive the seed. So you have the seed, you have now prepared the soil. These two obviously are not enough. Once, even if you have the best seed, even if you have the best prepared soil, the seed has to be planted, it has to be nurtured. Otherwise it won't grow. And that planting and nurturing is the ta'lim of the kitab. Ta'lim of the kitab consists of two things. One is the what we call the nisab and the nahaj, the syllabus and the methodology of teaching. Both are equally important. What is to be taught and how is it to be taught? And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with the Sahaba. He taught everyone some basic things, but he did not teach everyone the same thing in the same way. So with some people like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, people like Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, people like Abdullah ibn Masud, people like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and so on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'd bin Mu'ad, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them the Quran and gave them explanations, and very detailed and very in-depth. So that is why you have Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is considered to be the mufassir, the first man of tafsir, the ustad of tafsir of this entire ummah, is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even made dua for him and said, oh Allah, give him the ta'wil of the Quran, give him the understanding of the kalam, of your kalam, of the Quran. So you have people, other people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, basic things he taught everybody. But other people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them specific things and said, stick to this. And that is enough for you, inshallah. So this was the understanding of the methodology of teaching also, which is to say that people must be taught in accordance with their capacity to absorb that knowledge. Telling everything to everybody is not wisdom. Giving people who don't have the capacity to absorb knowledge, telling them daqaiq, telling them complicated things, only results in complete confusion. I mean, those people will, may Allah forgive us, but if you do that, in some cases people might even, you know, leave iman altogether because their mind will blow up. So you have to give people knowledge in keeping with their capacity to absorb that knowledge. It's not only a matter of age. Sometimes young people, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was maybe as old as him, or you know, maybe a little bit older than he, but he had that level of understanding. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she was a young girl, but she had that level of understanding of the religion, and of, she had a mind of a scholar. She was, you know, very incisive, very structured in her thinking. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught her a great deal more than he taught to other people who were much older. Because in the issue of the capacity to absorb that knowledge. So ta'lim of the kitab is to be done in that context of understanding the Quran. And that is the reason why also in the ta'lim of the kitab we must also differentiate. Tilawat of the Quran is only reciting of the ayat of the Quran. But ta'lim of the Quran is understanding those ayat. Now with the Sahaba, even with them, even though they knew the meaning after the recitation because it was their language, understanding of it was so important. So obviously for us it is even more important. So therefore, to understand the Quran, if somebody tries to tell you that it is not important to understand the meaning of the Quran, this is a strange thing. I mean, these are the kinds of things which there should be no need for me to say this. Yeah, because how can somebody say that understanding the meaning is not important? But today, may Allah forgive us, we even have people who teach Quran, who hold this point of view that understanding the meaning is not required. The children should only be taught. Padhai to bas, maa ne samjhane ki zarurat nahi. It's senseless, completely senseless argument. But there are people who even do this argument. Anyway, we don't have to worry too much about that, except that let us understand that that argument does not hold any water. Understanding the kalam of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is absolutely critical and important, because the kalam did not come for nothing. The kalam came to be obeyed. The kalam came to be implemented. The kalam came to be lived by. And how can you obey something, how can you implement something if you don't understand what it is? So that is why Yu'allimuhumul Kitab is the third step, which is to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, and to understand it in its completeness, which is what is the meaning, what is the mafhum, what is the intention behind this meaning, to understand this completely and totally. And for that we refer to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is where the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam come in. If you, just to give you one example, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in terms of foods, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited pork, and he prohibited alcohol, right? Now, supposing you say, well, Allah prohibited alcohol, and specifically khamar, Allah said alcohol. So therefore, if I want to smoke marijuana, what's the problem? Allah did not talk about smoking marijuana. Supposing I want to take an LSD injection, what's the problem? Allah did not talk about LSD. If I want to take a heroin shot, what's the problem? Allah did not mention heroin. It's not in the Quran, right? Nobody can find heroin in the Quran. And Allah specifically prohibited khamar, which is alcohol. So if I want to take any other kind of drug, how do you say it is haram? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited only pork. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibit dog meat? And I'm not exaggerating. Go to China, you will find. You go to Hong Kong, you will find actual dog carcasses in butcher shops. They sell it. There is a kind of breed of dog called chow chow, which is actually raised to be eaten. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not prohibit dog meat in the Quran. Allah did not prohibit cat meat in the Quran. Allah did not prohibit donkey's meat in the Quran. So shall we eat that? What about killing, shooting and eating eagles and kites and crows? And so what to do with all of this? That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm talking about those who give this completely ridiculous argument to say the Quran is sufficient. The Quran is completely and totally sufficient in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, which is the tilawat wa talim. The Quran and its explanation. Not to say Quran is not sufficient. Quran is completely and totally sufficient. But sufficient in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it. Allah sent it with the Nabi. Allah did not send the Quran on a rock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran in the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You separate the Prophet from the Quran, that is Jahannam. That is complete misguidance. There is no separation of the Nabi from the message of the Nabi. So to clearly understand, that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever my Nabi orders you to do, whatever my Nabi gives you, take it. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he stops you from, stop. And that is where, now if you join these two things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited pork. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any animal which is a carnivorous animal, any bird which is a carnivorous bird which uses its claws, this is prohibited and you cannot eat it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically prohibited donkey meat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did khamar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not only alcohol but all forms of intoxicants. So any intoxicant that we know today, which may be discovered later, somebody is sniffing paint, somebody is snorting cocaine. I mean, there's so many ways of taking drugs. So any kind of intoxicant is haram in Islam. It is prohibited in Islam. And this is where the ta'lim of the kitab comes. So how do you understand this? Because you only read the ayah of prohibition of khamar. What does it mean? When you go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you get the explanation of this ayah, the ta'lim of this ayah. This is what is the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. And that's the reason why I remind myself and you to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this kalam. He sent the kalam in terms of its words. He sent the kalam in terms of its meaning. He sent the kalam in terms of the way of learning, which is according to the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, the understanding of the kalam is through the sunnah, is through the ahadith of Nabawiyyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to his deen and to fill our hearts with the noor of his deen and to keep us always on the path of guidance and away from misguidance. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rabbal alamin.